It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Bills, Jags. Let's get weird. Bills, Jags.
It's maybe the Bills' weirdest rival.
Just a weird, I can't even explain it. It was just a weird game. I ain't never beat these guys, so it's just weird, man.
The playoff game in 2017 was pretty weird. Nate Clements not knocking down a 4th and 12, and then Ernest Wilford catching a touchdown in the back of the end zone on opening day. That was pretty weird.
I remember the game we played in Jacksonville and sunny day. I mean, but it was just a weird aura.
There are two London games against this team. That's pretty weird.
The London game was a weird game. Started very weird. It was just a very, very weird game. It was just weird, man.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Who's ready to get weird tonight? 7:30 kickoff.
The Jags in general just invite weirdness, don't they?
That's what happens when you have a two-tone helmet.
Yeah.
Right?
They had a two-tone helmet.
They did that for a while.
Yep. They had a two-tone. This team, so weird. They were a quarter away with a two-toned helmet from winning at New England to go to a Super Bowl with Doug Marrone as the head coach.
I rooted for New England that day. I felt like I did.
What?
Yes.
The 2017 AFC Championship?
Yes.
Why?
Because if Doug Marrone had made a Super Bowl, it would have been horrific.
Never mind. Sorry.
Would have been horrible.
Fair. Yep. No, that's acceptable. Right. If he'd won a Super Bowl. Also, we would have been, I mean, I guess Foles beating Brady, like you look back like, okay, that's a kind of a cool result. I had a Foles-Bortles Super Bowl. Just come on. That would have been horrible.
That's the year they beat the Bills in the playoffs. And then they go to Pittsburgh and blow out Tomlin and the Steelers.
Yep, because everybody puts up points on Tomlin in the playoffs. And there is a graphic that bounces around like maybe once a year of the quarterbacks in championship games that year. And of course, the Jaguars are a part of the weirdest NFL season maybe ever that featured Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, and Case Keenum in the conference championship games.
Well,
they have won back-to-back winning seasons. I'm looking at their history right now. 9-8, 9-8. Not like they've been tremendous. So many bad seasons, too.
The Jags.
1-15, well, 3-13, 4-12, 2-4. Just, man, look at these seasons.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. That slice of audio from Ed Oliver there, brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. So, quick thing on this game. Barring a playoff appearance here, this will be Trevor Lawrence's only game at that stadium. It's his first coming up tonight.
Right.
He's never played here in Buffalo. And the next time the Jags come here, again, barring playoffs, will be the new stadium. So high and bye for the current Highmark Stadium and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Because last year, this is something we kind of have been normalized to. Last year, they lose that Jags game in Jacksonville. In London.
London.
Yeah, I'm getting confused, but I'm trying to make this point about how that was a home game. That was a Bills game. They moved overseas, and the Bills lose it to Jacksonville overseas.
Yeah.
If that game is here, do the Bills have one more win last year? Are they not sweating it out through the entire month of December? So we're very normalizing. You know what I'm trying to say. These games, you lose a home game, and everyone's just kind of like, yeah, I guess that's how it goes now. It happens to everybody, so we all have to kind of expect it and accept it.
Yep.
That's how it goes. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. So we asked a couple questions today. You know, is there anything you really want to see out of this game from the Bills, whether it's offense or defense, and which unit has been more impressive? I mean, I think it's the defense to this point. The offense has been just fine. It didn't have to do much in Miami. They got short fields. They got a pick six, help from Jamarcus Ingram. The offense, to me, is still very much a we'll see. I think it's pretty good.
I do think they are now, after yesterday, and this would be by percentage, so one fewer game, they have, do you ever see those charts on Twitter, like drive results, and like how they, like, it's this bar here is three and outs, and this bar here is punts, and this bar here is turnovers. The Bills right now have like the lowest rate in the league, maybe by a lot now, because Tampa, I think, was first, and they had a bad day yesterday. Bills are like first in the league, and there are no punts, there are no turnovers, and there are no three and outs.
Yeah.
Like, they are getting a first down at least, and they are not giving you the ball back. It's only two games, but, I mean, that's a good sign, because how many punts do they have? Three? Through two games? Like, they are going on, when they're getting the ball, they're at least moving the ball a little bit, I think.
Well, I would ask this, in response to that, when's Josh Allen's last bad game? When's the last bad game he played? It's definitely last year. And when?
Was the Charger game bad? Again, though, it doesn't really come right to mind.
Right.
The week one game.
The Charger
the
game.
Jets, where he throws a bunch of picks.
Right. I mean, how do we define a bad game? Is it turnovers? A lot of people, that's going to be what it is.
Yep.
He turns the ball over. But, I mean, the Charger game, it's just a guess. He was...
I think the Charger game strikes me as he wasn't very good.
They scored 24 in that game, and they needed a comeback to do it.
Yeah, okay.
He was 15 of 21 for 237. Against New England, he was 15 of 30 for 169. Like, you know, he's had his moments, but...
Yeah.
The stats are definitely down. You know, his passing stats are definitely way down from when he was with Ken Dorsey. And I know, like, Dorsey has been... whatever. Forgotten about. He was bad. Brady came in, and really what happened when Brady came in is the defense fixed itself quite a bit. Like, points, here's one for you. Points against since Joe Brady became the offensive coordinator. And this might be something that Sean McDermott likes, feeling like my defense is protected a little bit more by a Joe Brady offense. Brady's first game was the Jets, right?
Uh-huh.
Six. They gave up 37 in overtime to the Eagles. And then 17, 10, 22, 21, 14. That's the regular season.
Yep.
The playoffs, it's not a lot to Pittsburgh. They held Kansas City to a reasonable number.
Yep.
Then in this game, the first two games this year,
Cardinals
got out early,
job.
But then they shut things down the second half. And then Miami didn't score either.
Right.
Like, the Bills' offense, this is what McDermott likes when it comes to complementary football, right? My offense is doing some work to help keep my defense from giving up points. The one thing I'm worried about, if I'm worried about anything about this team, it's that they are too in love with that model, that they will keep inferior teams close to them. If you're going to run like this, as often as they have, Warren Sharp had it, the Bills have been the most predictable team running the ball on first and 10 under center. Number one in the NFL, running the ball first and 10 under center. The Bills are running that 91% of the time.
Uh-huh.
So if they're going to stay that way, my fear is, it doesn't have to be this way, my fear is they'll keep inferior teams closer than they should be. They're the best drop-back team in football. They could blow teams out.
Mm-hmm.
But they might keep teams close on the way that they play complementary football. We'll see. Right now they look like a pretty good team. And the defense, to me, is not quite the bigger story, but defense has looked great through two games.
The defense, though, is the one where... I guess, you know, all that about the offense, I wouldn't want to really hard disagree with it. So I guess there is still a lot of finding out about the offense. The defense, I'm just still like, I don't know, man. They were so good against Miami. They have so many injuries. Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston. It's going to look that way every week. They're just going to smother every good offense they play.
I'm going to guess, yeah.
I'm wondering, the further we've gotten away from that Thursday night game against Miami, the more I'm starting to wonder if we're overreacting a little bit to the Bills can just plug in anybody they want against anybody and it will work, and we're not giving enough credit to they just know what Miami does.
That's right. They outcoach Miami.
They just know what Miami does. Had they played that football game against the Texans in week two instead of the Dolphins, that it probably wouldn't have looked that good. But who's to say, by the way, by Baltimore and Houston? Like, tonight's a different story. Jacksonville is, I think, a respectable offense. But in the next two games, when they play Lamar Jackson and C.J. Stroud, they might have Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard back by then. They might not have to be tested with their depth against those teams.
Connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Scott in Rochester. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Just keeping up with the Jacksonville weirdness, I just got to say I hate playing Jacksonville. But you remember the 2015 game in London where we had a completion from E.J. Manuel to Chris Gregg that was out of bounds, which was just Chris one of Bragg. The bizarre things I've ever seen. And then at the end of the game, you get a phantom defensive pass interference by Nickell Robey-Coleman, which pretty much, you know, sealed the game for Jacksonville because they continued on that drive and continued scoring. I loathe playing Jacksonville. Even all I can think of is the Urban Meyer game. It's just, I really hope they can right the ship tonight and really just hand it to Jacksonville because I hate Jacksonville. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard a lot of that. Hating Jacksonville, right? It's more like they're annoying.
Yeah.
Which I guess can be the same thing, but that was some disdain. We're bringing up Chris Gregg from 9 years ago. I love it.
I know, right? But if they lose this game, if they were to lose, you know what we would all probably do? Well, you know, hey, it's Jacksonville. It's just how it goes. And it's almost like the Bills against the Dolphins. Just can't beat that team. It's a matchup thing. It'd be nuts.
It's the logo or something.
It's the logo. Hey, Ronald Darby revenge game tonight.
He's on the Jaguars?
Yeah.
That guy still being in the league. He was great last year, too.
He got traded, of course. Like, McDermott and Bean show up, and they trade Ronald Darby.
Yeah.
Revenge game.
How old is he now? Because he's like right at the start of Rex, isn't he? For the Bills?
He is 30.
All right. Well, not as old as I thought he might have. It feels like he's 36. But all right.
Second round pick of the Bills.
What other? We got a lot of revenge games tonight.
I can find this out. Traded away for. All right. Let's evaluate. Did the Bills win
Darby
the trade?
Darby went to Philly.
Yes.
For Jordan Matthews.
And a third round pick.
Oh, okay. And a third.
Jordan Matthews and a third round pick.
Do we have any idea what that third round pick became?
I believe it's
trying to find it.
Harrison Phillips. But that doesn't. Yeah, I think it's Harrison Phillips.
All right. Harrison Phillips and Jordan Matthews.
It might have been something else now that I'm looking at it because the Bills traded up for both Allen and Edmonds in that draft, so they might have traded the pick they got in that deal.
Yeah, okay. No, they used the pick they got for they got a third for Tyrod that they used to trade up.
Okay.
So maybe it was Harrison Phillips then.
Jordan Matthews. Boy, Jordan Matthews just retired.
Did he? He played in the preseason.
He just missed out. He could have been there with the Andy Dalton resurgence.
Yeah. Is that it for former Bills? We got Morse, Gabe, and Darby.
Was Dearness Johnson here for 5 minutes?
I don't think so.
I thought he might have been.
I don't think so.
All right. Gina in Delaware. Let's go, Gina. What's up?
Let's go. Let's go. Nerves are just beyond right now. Put me in, coach. I want to play. You know, Sale took away my thunder because I got this Wausau meter that's really kind of off the meter right now. It's Monday night. Trevor Lawrence is going to come in hot and heavy, guys. We can't get too cocky. We need to win this game, obviously. Next Sunday's huge. Not trying to look ahead, but next Sunday is huge in Baltimore. That is huge. So tonight, we got to do this, guys. And we want, you know what Kirk Cousins used to say? You like that? You like that? That's what we need to be doing, guys. So let's go. Go, Bills.
Go, Bills. Hey, speaking of Kirk Cousins, Gina, the Falcons might be okay. They might be okay. Cousins, just like Rodgers, didn't look the same as week one, where he looked like he couldn't stand. He moved around a little bit last night, so they might be okay. Nervous.
I'm not nervous. No. I'm more, if actually anything, like Gina mentioning like next week, if I attach tonight to the next two games, it feels more important.
Well,
because not to say the Bills can't beat the Texans and the Ravens, but it's a little bit of, all right, like let's win. You want to win this one tonight because I'm not as sure about two road games at Houston and Baltimore coming up next. And you don't want to be 2-3.
If I'm zooming out and talking about nerves, my zoom out looks like the context of the AFC East. Miami is
They're just so
toast.
Burnt toast.
Miami's toast.
Yeah.
New England is toast. If this becomes a two-team divisional race, okay, then the Bills are, I think, more likely to make the playoffs. Like, look in the AFC right now. Do you feel better? Not that you would have felt bad, but do you feel even better about their chances of making a wild card at worst?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
So then we get to a point where, all right, I think they're going to make the playoffs, and now it's about what kind of team can they be when they get there. I know it's week 3, but just go with me on this for a minute. I'm thinking about this as, all right, they're going to lose like four games.
Okay.
It just happens. Everybody loses 3 to 4 games. Teams don't go 17-1, 16-1, whatever.
Yep.
Then they'll go 16-1. Then they'll go 15-2. Although this team sometimes has only three. Okay, at best, they're going to lose three games.
Okay.
So the idea of getting nervous about it, I know the schedule looked tough when the season began. I don't think the Niners looks nearly as bad. I don't think the Chiefs looks as bad, or the Texans, or the Rams, or the Lions. Nobody to me.
The Colts.
The Colts. Nobody to me looks like it's a really, really. And the Jags fit in this as well. So, okay, if the Bills are going to lose their 4 or 5 games when they happen, like, I'll get nervous once they've lost 5 games and it's week 10, like last year. That was last year. Last year we had to get nervous for a little while, and then they pulled it out and they're fine. And this just might be the kind of year where, okay, they lose a game here and there. It happens. It doesn't really often happen for this team, though. They don't get blown out. They don't have stinkers. Their stinkers are stupid, weird games against Jacksonville, where they lose by 5. Or there's a phantom pass interference, or it's 9-6. Like, this team doesn't have stinkers. Their quarterback is great. Their defensive system is great. Like, I think they're going to win most games that they play, and we're going to get to December, November, December, January, talking about, does it look like they have what it takes to knock everybody off? And right now, I don't think there's anybody out there that looks so good. I was afraid the Chiefs might get there, and they might. Like, the trajectory of the Chiefs, think about Rishi Rice, who early last year looked like this guy's another bust for them. He's not really doing much. And now he looks like a number one receiver for them. He gets the ball all the time. He's a difference maker. He's very, very good. So,
but that's it.
That's right. But the trajectory of the Chiefs looks like another year where they got one good weapon, because Kelce is nowhere. Worthy, I mean, maybe he has the Rice trajectory. Who knows? But the Chiefs don't look crazy good to me. Their defense is still good, but...
And where are all my national people that love to say that the one Achilles heel about Allen is that he turns the ball over? Where are all they on Mahomes' 4 interceptions so far this season, by the way? Because he is turning the ball over. I don't care about that, but everyone else has proven they do care about turnovers.
Let me tell you, if it's ever a Sunday night or a Monday night and it's about 10 p.m. and you hear a sound, that sound is all of Bills Mafia picking up their phones to tweet when another quarterback has thrown an interception in prime time. A quarterback has thrown an interception. Let's ride. Let's go. Get online. Let everybody know somebody else threw an interception.
I refrained from tweeting it out last night, but it is now true that since the start of the 2023 season, Mahomes has more interceptions than Allen does.
Listen, he did not look very good last night. Except throwing to Rice. That's all he's got. That's all they've got.
Yep.
Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron. Happy Bills Football Monday.
Raining too, of course. Finally, we needed it. So I hated Jacksonville. They've been a thorn in our side since the beginning of time. Seriously, they were the team that were first opponent to win a playoff game in Buffalo. They ended Jim Kelly's career because they set them off on a cart and ended up losing that playoff game, and Jim Kelly retired 4 days later. They beat us no matter what. They find ways to beat us. Now, yeah, we won like 5 of the last 7, but it just seems like last year's game, or that 1-9-6 game that we lost, it just seemed like I was going there expecting to win by 50. They did have one game I really did like them one day, though, when they beat Miami in the playoffs 63-7 way back then. But they've never been a good – they've never had, like, a great talent, like quarterbacks. The best quarterback, I think, was Brunell. It just seems like they're just there. They're like the Ottawa Senators of football. They're meaningless. They're a totally meaningless franchise, so – But hey, go Bills! And I know Thad Brown said that was not pass interference last night. It was pass interference.
Yeah,
go Bills!
I think that was pass interference on the Pitts play. The Jags.
I might hate them if they win tonight.
You know what you should do?
I usually don't have a feeling about them. If they beat the Bills again and it's some stupid game, they kick a field goal. Like, if it looks like the Broncos game from last year, like, oh, some dumb penalty or whatever, and they win, like, I'm gonna be enough of them.
The point about the Jags winning the playoff game here and Kelly getting knocked out and retiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen that run that he gets knocked out on?
I've probably seen it in my life, but not like recently.
Go watch it.
Let me see.
It's one of these plays where you want to see how different the sport is. Watch how Jim Kelly runs on that play versus how quarterbacks run and are taught to run now. Like, I mean, Kelly, right, played like a linebacker. There's a lot of that. He went in head down like he's Derrick Henry bowling into and, like, you know, gets hurt and that's the end. But, I mean, he is – he's running. He's in it.
Yeah, let's see. The guy on the other side would probably be, like, thrown out of the sport now for the hit, or maybe, I mean, it's the hit, not
Kelly
that bad.
Might be penalized. We're leading with the helmet. Wasn't that a rule for a minute?
You couldn't, running backs couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's what he did on this play. Like, he lowers his head, and he's fighting for yards. 803-0550. Adam in Silver Creek. Hey, Adam, good morning.
Morning, guys. Happy game day. Jags are annoying. I'm with you guys. To answer your question, I'm more impressed with the offense this year. I think that, you know, we've really come to kind of, I guess, take it for granted, you know, just how good of a defensive head coach Sean McDermott is. Truthfully, I'm not the biggest fan of him as a head coach. I think a lot of his in-game decision-making leaves a lot to be desired. But this would be like, you know, being surprised that the Rams have a good offense under Sean McVay. You know, I mean, right. It really is like the calling card of McDermott, and I think that he's great at it. And to kind of go along with the point of, you know, the weirdness that comes with Jacksonville and tonight, I don't want to see McDermott regress and be conservative. Last week, when he went for it on 4th-and-3, I was shocked. I was expecting him to take the three, you know, and, you know, lo and behold, we go out on that play, we score a touchdown, and that's the type of aggression that I want to continue to see tonight out of him, and, you know, not go back into this conservative shell where, you know, we're settling for threes, and you guys touched on it, you know? I mean, Jacksonville is an inferior opponent. Like, let's not keep them close. Let's send them out of here with the same way we did Tennessee a few years back. What was that, like 41-7 or something like that? Like, let's just absolutely run them into the ground. So thanks for taking my call, guys, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, the anniversary of that Titans game was last week. I looked up the box score to that. Diggs had a big touchdown down the field. They blew him out. And that's, you know, like, whatever. They just win. We're happy they win. But when there was a little bit of a stretch there, the Bills, people started to pay attention to their record in one score games, and I felt like everybody got too focused on that. Like, just don't focus on that. The Bills played a lot of two score games. Every two score game was a one score game you were so good at, you made it a two or a three or a four score game. And the Bills won four division titles, and in a lot of those years, they blew the doors off of teams. So it's one thing right, you mentioned like McDermott and kicking situations and conservative. Against the Cardinals, 4th-and-3, conservative. And out of character. I brought this up before, so I'll run through the numbers quick. I'm sorry if you heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. For multiple years, most of McDermott's time here, they do not kick and give away 1 point of win probability. They just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're very by the book. Hey, this would be more than 1 point win. Not that we know their process. We can just look at what they do. They don't give away win probability with decisions to punt or kick field goals. And in that game, they gave up 3.5 points. 3.5 points of win probability. It was an out-of-character, uber-conservative play on 4th-and-3. And he said 4th-and-2, they might have gone for it. And then in Miami, early in the game, 4th-and-3, he's fine. It's almost like, why would you do it? Well, in one instance, Joe, it's early in the game. I've got lots of time to make up for this if I don't get it. Whereas if it's 4th-and-3 to win the game, that's when teams start to kind of, well, I'm going to trust my defense. First off, he trusted his kicker, which was worth it in that moment. And you wonder if he would do it again. Like, let's say it's tonight, the same scenario. You've just seen Bass miss a kick in Miami. Do you trust your kicker and defense? Because you need to trust your kicker and your defense.
Might depend on how much of the decision was they had prevented the Cardinals from even getting like 60 yards in the second half.
That's probably a part
of it. Maybe
it
was all of it.
That probably should not matter.
It shouldn't, but I do wonder still about their process on that. Like, does McDermott have, okay, it's 4th-and-3. Number guy in the booth, radio's down. The right call here is to
go.
Is to go.
Go and win the game.
9 times out of 10, McDermott listens to that guy, and he stands there for a minute and thinks, they have 50 yards on me in the second half.
Shouldn't matter.
Like, right, it shouldn't.
Shouldn't matter.
But is there going to be one of every 10 times McDermott goes, you know what, I like the way this is going. Sorry, dude, this is the one time I'm not listening to you.
Tell that to Nick Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles from the primetime game against Atlanta. Yep. Atlanta was no business being in that game. Two-minute drill, bang, 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 touchdown, game win. 803-0550. Good stuff. Good stuff. Thanks for the calls. Good calls. 803-0550. That's our phone number. Jump in. We've got more. You've got Jags trivia.
I've got Jags trivia. We can do it when we come back if you want. I got Jags trivia. I think you'll do pretty well at.
See, ESPN's got 7:15 up there. They also have 8 o'clock for Commanders Bengals. And we know both of those.
And that's 8:15.
Right. Both of those are off by 15 minutes. It's 7:30 kick. All right. Jags trivia.
Should be illegal, by the way, for networks to do that. if you're gonna put seven, you have to put coverage starts.
Introduce legislation. Let's go.
Like, even you can put the time you want. Even though I hate that too. You could put 7 o'clock if you want in there, but you have to put coverage starts.
This is, by the way, you're gatewaying to my presidential platform, which is that movies start the time you say they start.
Oh, that one is that one's that's too far gone. That's never coming back.
I know, we've lost that
7 o'clock movie. That thing's starting at 8:30.
That's terrible. All right, Football Monday on WGR.
This play, 17 of the opening Chiefs drive. Falcons bring pressure. Mahomes lost it. It's intercepted. Unbelievable, Justin Simmons. That is the fourth straight game he's picked Mahomes. It's the sixth time he's intercepted Mahomes in his career.
Does Patrick Mahomes have a turnover problem? Justin Simmons, six picks. Listen, let's get stupid. Josh Allen goes a full season, throws zero interceptions. He wins the MVP.
Uh-huh. They'd give him MVP if he had 5 touchdowns. If he just threw zero interceptions.
Yeah. Quick stat for you on bad quarterbacking, not from Mahomes or from Allen. We'll get some more calls in, too. Maybe you're paying attention in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson's EPA per dropback. That's where the Bills are number one. Number one team in the NFL when the quarterback drops back. Deshaun Watson and the Browns are the worst for any Browns quarterback since 2000. Now, hold on a minute.
I've already got a thought.
That's not just any team.
That's the
Browns.
The Browns.
I'm going to give you the names.
Oh, no.
Deshaun Watson's EPA per dropback 3 weeks into the season is worse than Hoyer, Holcomb, Couch, Anderson, Mayfield, McCown, Dilfer, Brissett, Colt McCoy, Baker Mayfield, Charlie Fry, Kelly Holcomb, Brandon Whedon, Jeff Garcia, Deshaun Kaiser, Brandon Whedon again, Tyrod Taylor, Brady Quinn.
Yikes.
Worst EPA per dropback.
That might be the worst team for quarterback history in the last 25
years.
And he's the worst. He is so bad. I tweeted this. I legitimately am wondering now if he is purposely playing this bad because he wants to get benched. He wants to be done. He wants to keep his money, and he wants to stop going out there and getting booed by his home fans. He just wants to be done. He wants to somehow be done and keep the money. Because it's him. It is the sacks he takes. There are clear plays. There was one of these plays that I had that thought, which is he's got 3 receivers that are open, and he just hangs onto the ball. Like, yeah. He's gun-shy to throw it. It's not even a far pass, like 10 yards down the field, and he's afraid to throw it.
Well, this is where the NFL would be, again, the league does this to us all the time, right?
Couldn't help it happen to a better guy, by the way.
The Panthers Watson. Beat the Raiders. The Raiders beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Ravens beat the Cowboys. Cowboys beat the Browns. The Browns beat the Jags. And then the Jags will just beat the Bills. The transitive property of all this. The fact that the Broncos went in and beat Tampa is one of those, what?
Yeah. The stat I had earlier about the 4 biggest favorites, all above 5.5 and above, that lost outright, it was Niners, Raiders. The Raiders were a 6.5-point favorite. And then the Bucks and the Browns were the other two. The Browns were 6.5-point favorites over the Giants.
This Browns team, we just talked about how bad Deshaun Watson is. They beat this Jags team.
Yeah.
So you're telling me the worst Browns quarterback in 25 years beat the Jags and Josh Allen's not going to? Like, come on.
Do you see Jameis played a couple snaps, by the way? See what they're doing with him?
Hopefully they play him more.
They're doing the EJ thing. Oh, he comes in and does
count.
The hard count. Although he, I guess, also QB sneaks it, but he's the...
Well, you got to protect Deshaun Watson.
Listen, Florida State is known as Hard Count University. I don't know if anybody knew that.
Hard Count U.
Yeah, Hard Count U.
803-0550. Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everything going? I know it's game day, so I know you guys are pumped up. I know I got the game day adrenaline going. I want to first start off by saying that I have become a very big fan of Gina in Delaware, especially when she referred to Kelsey as a cheap porn star. I loved it. So I am a huge fan of Gina's. And, you know, I was thinking about Trevor Lawrence. You know, for some reason, he reminds me of Spicoli in a Jacksonville Jaguars uniform. As far as what I'm impressed about the most is the defense, the next man up. I mean, there is no apprehensive. I know that everybody's doing their job on defense. And, you know, when Milano went down and now, you know, Teron and T-Bird, when T-Bird went down, you know, I think we were a little apprehensive, but the defense has definitely showed. And then the other thing Joe was mentioning about Kincaid, I totally agree with that. I would love to see Kincaid get a little more productivity in the offense. I think that'll help us out a lot. But other than that, it's always a pleasure listening to you guys. You're awesome. Always love listening to you every morning. So
thanks, Rob.
With that, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Kincaid is at 14% target share this year, by the way.
Is that high, low?
It's 13th in the NFL among tight ends.
Okay.
Should be higher than that.
Do you know what Malik Nabers' target pace is right now?
His pace?
His pace for targets.
He's got to be like 150.
210. His target pace is 210.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
210 targets. Listen, the fact he's putting these numbers up with Daniel Jones is even the more incredible thing. He had that game yesterday against the most sack-prone quarterback in the league against Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Garrett had,
that's incredible.
Garrett had 7 pressures against Andrew Thomas, who was the left tackle there in New York.
Yeah.
Thomas hadn't given up more than 4 in a game since 2020. Garrett got him 7 times.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Here's just an idea for you. You know, Vaughn has been strong to start the year. Rousseau has too. Could Rousseau, I mean, getting to like the Garrett, TJ Watt, Bosa tier is a big, big jump.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly saying he's going to get there, but he's had a really strong start to the year. There's a lot to like about his ability, his versatility, how they use him, the long arms, like the continued potential growth for Rousseau. Who's ready to put a number on that extension? That's going to be a big one.
Okay. He will never get to that. I don't think he will ever get to that tier.
That tier, yeah.
That tier
That's a big,
is
big tier.
Those dudes are so good. Do you know, actually, there's one player in the league that I think is maybe joining that tier. The Watt, Garrett, Parsons tier.
Is it Will Anderson?
No, he might be too.
Ooh.
Do you know the name? How much of the Seattle-Miami game did you watch yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Mafe?
Yeah.
Boye Mafe, I think he's number one in the league in pressure rate, and he has 3 sacks through 3 games. And I got a chance to watch him a little more than I ever have last night. That dude is a terror.
Seattle's defensive line is legit.
Yeah, so he's on that list. But if Rousseau's a second-tier guy...
It's a pretty good tier.
I don't know the list, but isn't that probably a north... I don't know how much those guys get. Is that $20 million per year?
Yeah. Sabres game night. It's Sabres and Blue Jackets tonight. It's a preseason game. 5 p.m. So it doesn't, you know, should be out of there by the, or whatever, pretty close to the end by the time the Bills game starts.
Go watch the first 2 periods and then walk over and watch the Bills game.
Blue Jackets and Sabres. 803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe on WGR on a Football Monday.
The standard is the standard. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter where you are in the depth chart. The standard is the standard. So when you get a rep and practice, whether it's scout team or with the defense, You got to take that rep like it means something to everybody because we all depending on you to do your job, just like you depend on everybody else to do their job. So it don't matter where you are, the standard is the standard, and it doesn't get lowered based off who is out there.
Rasul Douglas. Slice of audio from the locker room brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters.
Who will hit a deep shot? Anybody in this game? Brian Thomas Jr. is their target, you know, for that. Maybe Gabe.
They've come...
MVS.
I was going to say, the Bills have come close on MVS twice.
That's right. They've been looking for MVS in that spot.
Yep.
And for the Jaguars, you know, Brian Thomas Jr.
I mean, they have Gabe. And Kirk's fast, too. Like, any of their three receivers kind of could, I feel like, pull that off. Jaguars tonight. Want some Jaguars trivia?
Yes.
In Jaguars history, there are only 8 quarterbacks that have started 16 or more games for them at quarterback.
16 total?
16
not
total.
Not in one season.
Nope, not in one season. Just career for the Jags, more than a season's worth of games. Who are the 8 quarterbacks who have done that in Jacksonville?
Brunel.
Number 1, 117.
Bortles.
Bortles. Number 3 with 73 starts.
Lawrence.
Number 4 with 52.
Garrard.
Number 2 with 76.
Leftwich.
Number 5 with 44. So you've knocked out the top 5 pretty quickly there. Brunel, Garrard, Bortles, Lawrence, Leftwich in that order. And then...
And then... There are 3 more?
3 more.
That have played 16 games.
All between 20 and 30. They're all above the one game line of demarcation here. One season. Line of demarcation.
Jaguars quarterbacks. Who's right after Brunel? That's like Garrard.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, no, it goes Leftwich, then
Leftwich,
Garrard.
Then Garrard. Okay. Yeah.
David Garrard was a good quarterback, by the way.
He was all right.
He was pretty good. I don't know if Leftwich was. All of these guys are going to be within the last 10 to 15 years.
I mean, the franchise has only been around for 30.
Right, but I'm not asking you to go back to
25. Like, or what,
yeah.
And what year was it? 99? No.
Brunel says from 95.
96, 95. Okay,
95. So maybe 95 is the first year?
Yeah.
With Coughlin?
I've got like a... No. This guy did not play 16 games for the Jaguars.
Who was the name?
C.J. Beathard.
He only has one.
Yeah. Okay, he played for them.
Yep. Trent Edwards was a start, by the way, on here for the
there
Jaguars.
There you go. He did too. Give me a hint.
Your first hint on number 6 in this list is he was a top 10 pick.
What number pick?
10.
10th pick quarterback played for the Jaguars.
Yep.
Drafted by the Jaguars?
Yep.
I'm gonna be mad at myself, aren't I? Who doesn't remember a top 10 pick?
You go to his Pro Football Reference page, and he's a 2-time Super Bowl champion, but that would be as a backup. He played 3 seasons for the Jaguars and went 5-22.
Oh.
So bad.
Hold on.
Yes?
Twice my brain has, like, fired it 40% of the way.
But it, like, went too fast?
Yes,
past,
yes.
And, like, you couldn't catch it?
Ooh, I got it, I think.
Go ahead.
Nick Foles.
Nope.
Oh.
Nick Foles, only four starts for the Jags, despite signing an $80 million contract. Yeah. This one's going to hurt you, I think.
It's not going to hurt me. I'm going to get there. It's not Matt Castle.
Nope.
It's not Matt Leinart.
Nope.
It's not Matt Barkley.
You named all Matts. It's not Matt.
I'm not saying it's a Matt, but it's like a Matt. It's like a Matt. Give me his initials.
BG.
Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert. That's not like Matt, I don't think.
Matt and Blaine are like...
Matt and
they're
Blaine?
Like brother names. They're the same name.
27 starts. Blaine Gabbert, who was a backup for the Chiefs, where he got his 2 Super Bowls. Another Jaguars quarterback was also a Super Bowl backup for the Chiefs.
Where was he drafted?
Miami.
Early?
Round 2.
Second round, Miami. Pat White.
Nope. Started 31 games for the Dolphins, 22 games for the Jaguars, 1 game for the Chiefs.
Jay Fiedler.
Nope. Is he still there?
Jay Feely. AJ Feely.
Nope.
feel.
He did get into a playoff game for the Chiefs.
Chad Henne.
22 games for the Jags. And then finally, he's an active starting quarterback in the National Football League. He started 20 games for the Jaguars. He is currently a starter on another team. And once you get this guy, you'll have the whole list.
Active starter in the NFL right now.
Yep. 20 starts for the Jags.
Gardner Minshew.
There you go. Your 8 Jags quarterbacks in history that have played at least a season.
I would offer you that Blaine Gabbert is the most forgettable player in NFL history. More people have forgotten about him than any other player ever.
I would at least go most forgettable top 10 quarterback of
maybe
all time.
Yeah. All right. Open segment. It's game day. You can join us, Buffalo Bills. Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.